Our scripture lesson this morning is from the sixth chapter of Galatians, beginning at verse 1. Your bulletin says through verse 6. We're actually reading through 10. So it's Galatians 6, verses 1 through 10. My friends, if anyone is detected in a transgression, you who have received the Spirit should restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness. Take care that you yourselves are not tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. For if those who are nothing think they are something, they deceive themselves. All must test their own work, then that work rather than their neighbor's work will become a cause of celebration. For all must carry their own loads. Those who are taught the word must share in all good things with their teacher. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for you reap whatever you sow. If you sow to your own flesh, you will reap corruption from the flesh. But if you sow to the Spirit, you will reap eternal life from the Spirit. So let us not grow weary in doing what is right, for we will reap at harvest time if we don't give up. So then, whenever we have an opportunity, let us work for the good of all, and especially for those of the family of faith. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. God, these words have no meaning without your Spirit. Lift them up for us today, that they might be a true roadmap for that which is to come ahead. In Jesus' name, amen. Any time of year, but especially in the summertime, when I'm getting ready to do some work, especially outside, I use a bandana around my head. Not only do I think it makes me look really cool, which it does, by the way, but it keeps the sweat out of my eyes. Now, I don't have a bandana for everyone, but I'm going to ask Ashton and Gretchen to share with you a piece of a bandana. You don't have to wrap it around your head right now. You can wait till you get home for that. Now, you could be worried right about now that I'm doing this, because you may think I'm getting ready to preach up a storm and get all sweaty. We'll let God decide that. I hope that that's the case today, but we'll see. See, this way it does. It keeps the sweat out of my eyes. Now, if I wore it just to look cool, then that would serve one purpose. But this way, I know that the work I'm about to do is going to be serious. At the beginning of this season, I went out to our brand new lawnmower, 1 year old. And I'm going to take one step back. First of all, I argued against a lawnmower. I said, if we get a lawnmower, then I'm going to have to mow the lawn every week. And Wayne said, no, we'll do that together. Well, that togetherness didn't last as long as I thought it might. And so I found myself more than once using a flashlight to mow the lawn after dark. But I swear to you, I did not break the lawnmower. It just broke itself. It would not start when I tried to start it this summer. So here I have everything laid out and ready to do my yard work, and the lawnmower won't start. So I simply put everything back inside the garage. And I had a conversation about my lawnmower with my dad the next day. And he said, well, have you tried a spark plug? No, I wouldn't know where to put a spark plug in a lawnmower. My sister, who was there, who knows much more than I about anything in the world, just ask her and she will tell you how smart she is, said, oh, all you've got to do is clean the carburetor. Yeah, that's all I've got to do. Where is the carburetor on a lawnmower? So you see, I've been very happy to pay Mike the yard guy $30 to come and mow and edge and weed eat all summer. But I'm shirking my responsibility. Unless, on the other hand, I could argue that I'm helping this guy out because he really needs the money to put his kids through college. But I don't know if he has kids, and I don't know if they're going to school. I'm just shirking my responsibilities that way. Now, before I go on, I want you to just take a moment, and if you smell the bandanas that I've given you, smell those? Okay, that's my sweat you're smelling there, by the way. Only kidding. These are brand new, and the reason Wayne's not here is because he spent all night cutting these into strips for you. But I'm illustrating a point, and that is that hard work, by its very definition, is never easy. Say it again. Hard work is not easy. Colin Powell said this: a dream doesn't become reality through magic. It takes sweat, determination, and hard work. A dream doesn't become a reality through magic. It takes sweat, determination, and hard work. I'm not so sure that that's an original quote. In fact, it sounds very much like a paraphrase of what the scripture says. We are given a pretty good prescription of how to live our lives just by what it says in this simple text. When each of us embarked upon the journey of Christian faith, we did so in a different place, a different time, for different reasons. Maybe some of us had a religious experience in a tent revival or a church service, someplace we'd never been before. Others of us grew up in church. We were never apart from the church. Some of us may have begun in the Christian church and explored other means of spirituality in search of God. But for whatever our reasons, we are all here today, and a part of our journey is the work. And it's the work that we don't often talk enough about. What we talk about is getting ready to do the work. And this is where we do that. We come to church to be fortified, to be strengthened, so that in our daily living, what we are doing is being living examples of Christ's love. Now, each one of us has different gifts of the Spirit. And we use those to God's glory. At least that's the plan. But how often do we leave here on Sunday? And I can tell you, for me, it's much more often than I wish it were, where I'm energized, I'm ready to move my faith into the world, and then something happens, and the something is called Monday. Life happens on Monday, more so than any other week, any other day of the week. It's Mondays that derail us from Sundays. Have you ever had a week of Mondays or a month of Mondays where it seems like no matter what you do, it's all for naught and there's still more that needs to be done? When it comes to knowing what to do, Scripture is really very clear. Now, this particular passage from Galatians says we cannot become weary when we're doing Christ's work. In other words, we've got to just stay at it. But it's the weariness that sometimes draws us down. Where do we find then the sustenance that we need? Well, one good place is right here. I'm holding it right here. We used to bring our Bibles to church every Sunday. Some of us still do. I must confess that when I visit another church, rarely do I carry a Bible with me. And yet, it's an important thing to do. But something has changed in the church, and I'm using that very, very broadly, over the last several years. Because while we revere this sacred word, collectively, we don't know it very well. I read the results of a study, and this study was of American Christians, people who say they are followers of Christ and declare themselves to be Christians. This was in the United States of America in 2002. Of those surveyed, 48% could not name all four Gospels of the Bible. That's almost half. 52% couldn't identify more than two of Jesus' disciples. 60% of American Christians can't name even five of the Ten Commandments. 61%, this is my favorite of all, 61% believe that the Sermon on the Mount was delivered by Billy Graham. Is that nervous laughter I'm hearing? Like, well, it was Billy. What are you talking about? And 71% quote this as scripture. The Lord helps those who help themselves. Ain't so. That's not found in this book. What is found is those who love Christ better get to work. The Lord helps those who help themselves. That's a wonderful, self-righteous bit of non-scripture that we can stand on, claiming that other people should be able to get a job to afford their own health care. Why should I have to pay for the food stamps for the person in front of me at the supermarket? It's a handout. The Lord helps those who help themselves. It's not quite what we just read, is it? Instead, the Lord strengthens those of us who work for Christ. Because that's where our motivation comes, and that's where our mission is. When I think about jobs that I don't particularly like but are incredibly rewarding, one of those is doing laundry. And you say, well, what? How could you possibly like laundry? I like it because when it's done, when it's folded and put away, it's done. You can take that one off the list. It's not like all the other things where you work and work and work and you still have more to do and it just never ends. The laundry is finished. Until what? Until tomorrow. But it's one of those tasks that when we do it, the work is done. And we can feel good about that. Unfortunately for us, God doesn't have a great big laundromat for us to work in. Instead, we have this place called Earth and this thing called life. And our work does not end. Instead, we take what we have here and we go into the world. And whether it's at work or at home or in our community, we work to help someone else. And then, as Gretchen pointed out this morning, we say something negative about someone. And what does that do to our work? It undoes our work. I don't think God keeps a big scorecard for us. Good job. Oop, take that one away. But if I help you with something and then I judge you, I've not helped you at all. If I give money to a children's organization, but I don't give of myself to spend time listening to the needs of a child, I haven't done much work. Don't get me wrong. Our finances and our giving are part of the work that we are called to do. But it goes beyond just writing a check. It has to do with giving up ourselves in service to someone else. We reap what we sow. And if we sow for the flesh, we'll be rewarded, just as this text says. But if we sow in the Spirit, we'll reap from the Spirit. And the promise in this text talks about eternal life. But we don't have to wait until we pass from this life to understand what it is we're reaping from our work. We can see it in the very lives of other people. When we take a moment to understand someone, to get to know their struggles, and do what we can, even if it's nothing more than just listening, we have done God's work. We are living out our faith. We are not leaving it in this place in hopes that we'll find it again when we come back next week. We do the things that come natural to us the quickest. But here's a wonderful example of what it really means to use our gifts. Bertoldo Giovanni, a name that I was not familiar with, was a teacher. He taught sculpting. And his most famous student ever was Michelangelo. And he worked with him every day to be the best sculptor that he could be. And one day he walked into the studio and he saw Michelangelo with a sculpture that was far beneath his capabilities. In other words, the artist had simply knocked it out to be finished with it. Giovanni walked over with a sledgehammer and smashed the art into pieces. And this is what he said. Michelangelo, talent is cheap. Dedication is costly. How does that fit into our faith journey? Talent is cheap. In other words, those things that come naturally to us, we can do those without thinking. We can preach, or we can teach. We can cook. We can give of ourselves with the talent that we have. But what happens when we go beyond that comfort? That's where we have to practice dedication in the things that we're not comfortable with, the things that could cause us some anxiety. This morning before church, there was a homeless person asleep right in front of the door. After a time, I went out and woke him up and I said, "Sir, you have to leave now." And he said, "Okay." A few minutes later, he came into the fellowship hall and asked for a sandwich. He was offered the food that was there, but it wasn't what he wanted, and he began to curse on his way as Scott escorted him out the door. Does that mean that we don't do that again? We learned our lesson there. It does not mean that at all. It means that we have to be dedicated in doing God's work over and over. Might we be cursed? Absolutely. Might we be neglected? Absolutely. Might we become so physically tired that we feel like we can't go on? Absolutely. But what we can't do when we're doing God's work is become spiritually weary. It's a funny thing about Christ's work. The more we do, the more energized we become. The more we do, the greater we reap because we see lives changed around us. When we care for someone, especially someone we don't know, we are doing God's work. we are reaping what we sow. I talked a few minutes ago about getting everything set up to do my yard work and then not being able to do it. I think that's a trap that's very easy for us to fall into. We get busy getting ready to do work and then something stops us. Might it be possible that we spend so much time and energy discussing how we address God that we never get around to calling on God? Is it possible that we spend so much time surveying and studying the world around us that we never get time to look at the answers which provide the prescription for the problems of the world? I want you to take these pieces of bandana home with you. Put it in your pocket or in your purse or on your refrigerator door. And when you see it, ask yourself, have I done Christ's work today? And if the answer is no, it's not a time to beat yourself up. It's a time to say, what can I do now? You see, we are all given seeds to sow. And God asks us and expects us to sow those seeds so that as we reap, others will be fed. In closing, I want to offer this quote. How appropriate that the choir sang a freedom song this morning. Frederick Douglass, arguably one of the most brilliant writers that I've ever read, said this: I prayed for freedom for 20 years, but received no freedom until I prayed with my legs. Think about that. We can pray, God, take care of the world. God, bless my family. God, breathe new life into our church. God, may my workplace become a better environment. But it's not until we use what we have in our conversations with God to find the strength that we need to make the difference in our lives and the lives of others. I prayed for 20 years for freedom, but didn't find freedom until I prayed with my legs. It's okay to get a little sweaty in doing Christ's work, because as we do so, we find a joy that can't be found in any other labor than the labor of love. Amen.